Hello and welcome to a breaking news edition of the Blue Hen Sports Cage Podcast with Ahmed Quadri. I'm Brandon Hovek. We're not in our normal studio, hopping online late Tuesday evening to discuss the big news in the NBA. Kyrie Irving traded to the Boston Celtics in exchange for Isaiah Thomas. Ahmed, I was thinking back to June at the end of the NBA Finals earlier today when LeBron James put his arm around the shoulder of Kyrie Irving and told him, "We'll be back. We'll be back here." They're going to be back on the same floor to start the season. First game of the season, about 4 months after LeBron said that to Kyrie, but they won't be on the same team. Irving with the Celtics and LeBron with the Cavaliers. There's a lot to get into with this trade, but I'll just give you the floor for a second, Ahmed, your first reactions to this major news in what has been a continually evolving NBA offseason.
Yeah, I was always under the impression that this was never going to happen. So for him to go to Cleveland, and I'm talking about Kyrie to go to Cleveland, and for Isaiah Thomas to go to Boston, this is something, a scenario that I've played in my head many of times before, was always under the impression that would never happen. And now for it to actually happen, it's crazy. It's insane. You've mentioned it, how the offseason is just, you know, so rowdy, better than the actual season, in my opinion. But how crazy is it that they're going to be playing in Quicken Loans, I believe, right? That first game's in Cleveland.
Yep.
And that's going to be, you know, an electric atmosphere. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad as far as Kyrie Irving's short-lived return is concerned. But, I mean, I'm a big Kyrie Irving fan, and I'll just be watching this just as a standpoint of a fan. It's going to be insane. It's going to be crazy. And I'm glad that it happened to the Celtics. This is a fair deal. They got some good. They got a good pick. They got a center for the future, possibly. They got Jay Crowder. I'm sure you'll get into the more of the trade specifications right now, but fair trade, good trade, and I like it. I'm excited.
The full deal is Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas, forward Jay Crowder, center Ante Zizic, who was the Celtics' first round pick, the 23rd overall pick in last year's draft, and then the Brooklyn Nets 2018 unprotected first round pick. That's a big piece. Jay Crowder's a big piece. He was a starter for them last year, each of the last few seasons. He's under contract for three more years. Zizic is still a young player. He's under contract for a long time. And Isaiah Thomas is under contract through just this season. Kyrie Irving, he's under contract for each of the next three seasons, but he can opt out after 2 years. But we all know about his comments towards the end of the offseason about how he wanted to be the leader of his own team and how he wanted out of Cleveland and maybe out of LeBron James's shadow. He finally gets his way. We had been talking about Phoenix as a destination. He listed Minnesota and San Antonio and New York as preferred destinations, but he ends up in Boston, which it's an interesting thing to play through before this deal happens, but I don't think that there was much discussion about this actually happening. Irving going to, I think, what we all consider the second best team in the East. How does this change what's going to go on in the East this season? How does this change, like, that playoff picture, the dynamic between the Cavaliers and the Celtics, where any other teams figure into this? Where do you see these two teams right off the bat, talent-wise, in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think, Brandon, you'll agree, there's only one other team besides the Celtics and Cavs I'll throw in there as, you know, somewhat competition. That's the Washington Wizards. So I think it's really a three-team race in the East. I'll narrow it down to two. I think Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers will still be there at the end when it's the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. I do think the Cavaliers got a little bit better as far as the bench is concerned, but I think the Celtics got a lot better. And I know for some people it's you know, not that much of a deal. We talk a lot about, you know, Celtics management and how they've been stockpiling not necessarily assets but picks. And you give a 2018 first-rounder pick, that doesn't really hurt. You got, you know, still plenty of picks. The center, Ante Zizic, we'll see how, you know, he plays. I doubt it. He'll get play time this year. But, you know, you're not really losing much if you're the Celtics. I do have a problem with Jay Crowder, not specifically in this deal, but Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley leaving your team collectively this offseason, because that's just a good portion of the defense that's now gone for the Celtics.
Exactly.
So that's my area of concern right there. I'm not really like old school as far as defense wins championships. I think that's kind of played out, but you know, a lot of offense, you know, can't always compensate for the lack of defense. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's tough.
Agree with that.
That's tough for me to kind of get past, but I've always said this, and this has always been my favorite argument, that Celtics were three games away from the NBA Finals. And I think that gap is shorter now, but let's see how LeBron does with, you know, somebody who likes the ball in his hands just as much as Kyrie Irving, which is Isaiah Thomas. And I was a big Isaiah Thomas fan, but I still don't think he's better than Kyrie Irving. So hopefully it works out for both teams. I think it will. I think the Celtics did get better a little bit more than the Cavs did, if that makes any sense. So it's
so
still
the
Cavs.
The gap is closer.
The gap is closer, to put it in layman's terms. But I still think it's a 7-game series at the end of the day. It's not a 5-game series, Cavs. It might be a 6 or 7-game series now when you look at it big picture. And it's kind of crazy to already look ahead to May of 2018. May of 2018. But you have to now.
I 100% agree with all of that. Quickly back to Crowder and Bradley, I think that's an interesting part of this, because I think their starting five is significantly stronger than it's been in the past. You have three, maybe not superstar players, but you have three very quality players in Hayward, Al Horford, and now Kyrie Irving, with a few solid pieces around them, Smart, Marcus Morris. But I think the bench depth takes a little bit of a hit, and I think Avery Bradley was a great backcourt pairing with Isaiah Thomas, because Bradley could cover the other team's point guard, where they could move Isaiah Thomas off the ball, and Kyrie Irving maybe not is quite the liability defensively that Isaiah Thomas is, but he is a liability, and it would be nice to have an Avery Bradley to take that role guarding the other team's point guard, guarding Steph Curry in the NBA Finals. But I think that the talent that they've brought in can trump maybe those fit concerns, and especially in a Game 6, in a Game 7. Are there many players in the league that you'd rather have on your team than Kyrie Irving to get you a bucket with 15 seconds on the clock, with 30 seconds on the clock? This list is very short if there's anybody above him to have that specific skill. And they still have some depth. They still have Jason Tatum coming off the bench. They still have Jaylen Brown coming off the bench. I think those two guys will continue to get better throughout the season. I think Brad Stevens will get this team meshing and gelling by the end of the year. I think that's a team that's going to be significantly better than they were last year because of the Hayward signing, because of this trade. And I think it makes for now two teams at the top of the Eastern Conference to talk about. I still think the Cavaliers are better, but I think that, like you were saying, Ahmed, the gap is closer, that these two teams are going to go 6 or 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and it's tricky for me because my sleeper pick for the MVP coming into the season, this next season, was Gordon Hayward, and I thought he was going to be my sleeper pick. But now you see Westgate's Vegas odds. You see Kyrie Irving literally doubled his chances now by going to the Boston Celtics. It was 50-1. Now it's, I believe, 25-1. So he's doing it for himself. I think this is a good situation for Gordon Hayward as well, because even though he might have seemed to be the man in Utah, you know, Rudy Gobert was there. He had a couple of pieces that, you know, took over that game or took over that team at certain times in certain games. So even though Gordon Hayward is kind of that guy, maybe in the Celtics, or that guy in the Utah Jazz days, this Kyrie Irving trade is just a good compliment for Gordon Hayward specifically. And I think these two guys could easily finish top 5, top 10 in scoring this upcoming season. I would not be surprised at all.
If you're Gordon Hayward, this is kind of an aside, but how do you feel about having Isaiah Thomas be the main guy who recruited you to Boston and now playing with Kyrie Irving? They're similar, I think, in offensive play style and even defensively, that they're both guys who want the ball in their hands, who can make buckets happen. Irving's probably a little bit better of a shooter. Maybe Isaiah Thomas is more consistent through the regular season. But how do you think maybe where his mindset is? He's locked into that contract one way or the other, but where do you think his mindset is after this trade?
Makes you feel some kind of way, doesn't it? But I think it's one of those things that you're not really complaining. It's,
Yeah.
you know, one of those things. It's a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. Two good players. Something tells me that he's a little bit, you know, more excited that he did get Kyrie. I just, again, I'm just personally going off of Kyrie, in my opinion, is just a little bit, maybe I'll say a hair or a fraction better than Isaiah Thomas. I mean, you've got just maybe a couple inches more in height, maybe ball handling, maybe not as consistent, but fourth quarter guru. Well, both of them are for that matter. But I think if you're Gordon Hayward, I think you have to keep doing what you're doing. I think nothing changes at all, and you go about yourself. I don't know if you've seen pictures of Gordon Hayward, but I don't know what's in his diet, but he's looked like he's put on some good muscle, some good pounds, and he looks like he's ready to go. Reunited with his old Butler coach. Nothing changes if you're Gordon Hayward. I think you go out and you play your game. He's not a guy that needs the ball in his hands all the time. If Kyrie can, you know, change his, he doesn't really have to change his ways that much, because LeBron isn't Gordon Hayward, and Gordon Hayward definitely isn't LeBron. So I think transitions for both teams will be fine. I think the hardest thing right now really is changing that 2K18 cover for Kyrie Irving from white to green. But that's about the biggest transitions that you're looking at right now for either team.
Before we move on to more of the Cavaliers' perspective in this deal, one of the first reactions I saw pop up on Twitter was, wouldn't this package blow any package out of the water that was offered for Paul George or Jimmy Butler this summer, and yet the Celtics were unwilling to relent that Brooklyn Nets pick or Jay Crowder in a lot of those trades? Wouldn't this package with IT, Crowder, Zizic, and the unprotected first-round pick from the Nets get a deal done with Chicago for Jimmy Butler or with Indiana for Paul George? And you know, we love what Kyrie Irving does in the playoffs in late game situations, but I think Jimmy Butler and Paul George through the length of a season, considering what they bring both offensively and defensively, are probably better players than Kyrie Irving. What would you say to those people bringing that criticism that they should have made this push earlier in the offseason to get Paul George, to get Jimmy Butler?
They definitely should have, because in my opinion, and I think in everybody's opinion, Jimmy Butler and Gordon Hayward combo would have definitely been better. That's a team that's more complete A to Z. But looking at it, I think everything happens for a reason. I still think they got a good deal here, because I think it's still hard. If you're Celtics, you're chasing Paul George, or you're chasing Gordon Hayward, or if you're chasing Jimmy Butler, I think for most of those guys, I think that was going to be it. If it was going to be Paul George, I just don't see you getting two stars, you know, like Gordon Hayward and like Kyrie Irving. So I think they got the best of both worlds here, because I just don't see a team with Paul George and Gordon Hayward, or Paul George and another superstar. I just think this worked out better for both teams. Anyone else, I think, you know, you're asking for a lot, or the circumstances are different. This just happened to work out. You got two stars. I don't see that many other scenarios where you get two stars. So I think the Celtics should just take that criticism. I don't know who or where the criticism is going to come from, but I think you, if you're the Celtics, are very content with where you're at.
Hold on 1 second, Ahmed. I think we just lost the recording. Something just went away.
Did it save?
I don't know. I've never used this before. I don't know. Like, I can't, the thing's not up. It was going. It was definitely recording, and then just as you were talking, like I had it minimized, but it was still running in the background, and now I don't see anything. Maybe I'll like edit that together to be funny, like little extra, like, we just lose this and then be like right back in with some music or something.
Yeah. Or maybe like I forget how like shows do it. Like they'll be in commercial and like they're slowly fading back in from commercial, or they're slowly fading out to commercial, and they'll just be like What will they be like? I'm trying to give you an example. They'll be like, they'll just be having a conversation of nothing that's related to the podcast. Like, are you serious right now? I'm pretty sure we can't say what I just said, but you know what I mean? Like, we could be having like a side conversation right now.
Maybe it'll just be that part. Maybe it'll be, like, we can't just say what I just said, but we'll just be having a side conversation right now. And then, like,
okay.
Music, and then
yeah.
We'll come back into the next segment.
That's fine, yeah.
The last thing you said was about, like, it still being a good deal, even though maybe they could have got Paul George or Jimmy Butler, right?
Yeah, I think I was pretty much done though. I was just trying to find a way to wrap it up.
Okay, cool.
But I was just nonsensely just going on and on.
So let's talk about Cleveland.
Okay.
So the Cavaliers have to trade Kyrie Irving because he doesn't want to play for them.
To put it lightly, yeah.
He has 2 years left on his contract. They somehow get back, I think, a player who is similar in superstar quality in Isaiah Thomas. I think we both agree that Irving is better, slightly better than Thomas. But Thomas is still, I think, better than anybody that they were talking about trading Irving for up until today. He's better than Eric Bledsoe. He's better than Andrew Wiggins today. Maybe potentially Andrew Wiggins will be better, but I think Isaiah Thomas is better today. They get Thomas, plus they get, I think, a huge piece for the future in that Brooklyn Nets first-round pick, and I think they add some depth with Crowder and Zizic, which they did not have last year when they were playing against the Golden State Warriors. Ahmed, your thoughts?
It's tricky because you look at some players, and I think it's tough to say that he's better now or he's going to get better in a while or he's not a bust and he's not that. But I think when you look at big picture here, at the end of the day, both teams got better parts of the trade. I think you look at ceilings for some of these players, like how, like, I guess the jump of a team, like what Jimmy Butler did to the Timberwolves, literally taking them from a lottery team to some people saying that they're a top four team in the West. So I think both teams are modestly still where they're going to be at. And I think it's also a challenge for the rest of the Eastern Conference to see what they can do as far as challenging the two teams. And the third team that I said was the Washington Wizards. But you look at some of these players and who can really make a difference as well. I forget his name. Who's the one center Ante Zizic. Yeah, I want to see this guy because I've heard a lot about him. I want to see how much playing time he gets and, you know, what he can do with this team. Because right now we're all talking about it in paper, and these teams have not played a single minute, these new look teams. And if you look at it, there are two completely different teams now. Well, completely might be a strong word, but they are two very different teams now, but we expect the same results and the same outcomes to hold up. So that is a tricky situation. We'll have to see how that plays out, but I think it's easier to sit here and talk about predictions now, because if you look at it, NBA's almost done a whole 180 since the last time we saw it.
Yeah, I mean, when this offseason began, we were talking about whether the Cleveland Cavaliers could trade Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson or one of these ancillary pieces to get Paul George or to get Jimmy Butler. And we went through the whole Dan Gilbert thing. That seems like it was ages ago. We went through Jimmy Butler traded on draft night. Paul George shockingly traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Chris Paul traded days later to the Houston Rockets. And now, months after the NBA offseason began, we finally get to this point where Kyrie Irving is traded, something that I don't think anybody saw coming at the end of the NBA Finals. I think everybody thought that he was a foundational piece of this team. He's still under contract in Cleveland for two seasons, possibly three. And LeBron James wanted to have him there. He's 25 years old, but things can change so rapidly in the NBA. Just like you were saying, the Timberwolves were a team that were somewhat on the radar, but now are looked at as now that the expectation for that team is to make the playoffs. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, Are you at all worried about, one, the injury that Isaiah Thomas sustained in the playoffs last year, the hip injury that he didn't have surgery on but has been recovering from this offseason, and two, the possibility that Isaiah Thomas leaves this team after this season? He has just 1 year left on his deal, possibly could receive max money from a team.
I definitely wanted to talk about those two things because I think those are two very valid points. And, you know, not to say that Kyrie Irving has a clean bill of health, because he doesn't. He had some few nagging injuries as well. That hip injury was actually kind of serious, though, in Isaiah Thomas's point here, because, you know, I'm not a doctor here or anything, but a hip flexor or the hip muscle, the hip and the back are two muscles or areas of the body that don't get talked about too much, and they can really affect not only your play, but your playing time and your playing career and the duration of it, because once those go, so do your career. So that's tough. I think he's recovered fine. He didn't need surgery. I think the injuries will kind of not only cancel each other out, but not be a factor here. The other thing you said was, what was the other thing you mentioned?
His contract.
The contract, yes. I think that's a good point here, because I think all the hype here is now is LeBron, and people are already burning LeBron jerseys again because he's not going to be here after the 2018 season. We'll see what happens. I'll ask you this too, because I want to know, is LeBron gone or not? But I think he is, and I think that's going to affect Isaiah Thomas's decision moving forward. I like the center that this Cavaliers got, and I also like the first-round draft pick they got. So they're not in great hands, but they're in good hands. And as far as Kyrie Irving is concerned, I'm already hearing talks about an extension next year or a bigger contract. The dude is only 25, so that's really not that much of an issue for him. I like it for Kyrie. I think it's tricky if you're the Cavs, but I think the Cavs are looking short-term right now.
I view the LeBron James conversation as the big circle. I think that this deal and other deals like it,
it's like the Venn diagram,
or the small circle, yeah, pointing to the big circle, right? This stuff is important. Kyrie Irving being traded is crazy. It is crazy that we're sitting here on August 23rd now, and we're talking about a major deal of this magnitude, and we've already seen three other superstars get traded this offseason. That's crazy. But none of these guys are on the same level today and in a historical context as LeBron James. So this whole decade could be told basically through the story of LeBron James, where he goes. He's been in the NBA Finals for 7 years. The biggest story outside of the Golden State Warriors through the last decade of the NBA has been LeBron James coming into the league, getting drafted by his hometown team, leaving that hometown team to go to Miami, going to four straight finals, and then coming back to his hometown team. He can still rewrite history again by leaving. I think that this deal will change some of that. I think getting Isaiah Thomas probably gives the Cavaliers a better chance of retaining LeBron compared to them trading Kyrie Irving for somebody like Eric Bledsoe, or trading him to like San Antonio, where I don't think they would have gotten a lot back. I think this is a really good return. I don't think it locks in LeBron either way. I don't think it means LeBron James is leaving because they don't have Kyrie Irving, and I don't think it means that LeBron James is staying because they got Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas could leave. I think, though, if they both go to the finals, I think there's a good chance that they both re-sign, and I think there's definitely a good chance Isaiah Thomas re-signs on a max deal.
I think at the end of the day, LeBron already knows whether it's still Cleveland or L.A. I think he already knows where his home is next year.
Why do you think that? Who is he going to play with in L.A.? Shut you down, because I think there's a legitimate possibility he goes to L.A. But what does that team look like in L.A. compared to this team in Cleveland?
Well, I hope it's not L.A. I don't think it'll be L.A., but wherever he does go, I think that it's not about basketball anymore. I think it's about business. And when you think of business and markets and what, you know, LeBron does or likes or is invested in, you think of L.A. And whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers, I think there's a possibility. I hope it's not Los Angeles, but, I mean, you never know. And we talk about the Banana Boat Boys or Friends or whatever that is, and you talk about D-Wade and you talk about all these cities. I think that whether he stays in Cleveland or not, or whatever the case may be, I think that for him it's already decided. And I think at the very least that's decided. If a city isn't decided, it's is whether he's leaving, yes or no. And I think in his mind that's made up, unfortunately.
Do you think if the Cleveland Cavaliers go to the NBA Finals again and lose, that that is just not enough, that he will try to change something? He will maybe go somewhere else, or I don't know how much more they could shake up this Cavaliers team, but do you think that that would be like the nail in the coffin that sends LeBron James out of Cleveland if they go back to the Finals and lose again?
Well, I mean, he's lost in the Finals before. I just don't see how this time would be any different. But unfortunately, it's, you know, whoever wins this trade or whoever you think won this trade still gets to lose to the Warriors. That's your grand prize, in my opinion, at least. But that's what it's going to be. So I don't think LeBron can, you know, hold success or 60 wins or 70 wins or 50 wins or whatever it is to that. I think that he needs to make the decision, because is Isaiah Thomas your long-term solution, even though he's only like, what, a year older than Kyrie? I don't think he's a long-term solution. And I don't know what's going to happen in Cleveland, because something feels uneasy there. And I don't know if it's just me, but something just, you know, feels like it's kind of held on together by glue and spit or whatever it is. It just doesn't feel permanent there. For Boston, I like that a little bit more. It's just because of the players you have, the management, the staff. Doesn't feel like there's a rift there, or if there ever was a rift there, it doesn't feel like it.
Let's talk about L.A. a little bit more and kind of dive into what a LeBron James team in L.A. would look like. Personally, I don't think that the Los Angeles Clippers make much sense, because I do kind of agree with what you were just saying, in that if LeBron leaves Cleveland, I think it's with a 3 or 4 year picture in mind. I think it's Kevin Love's not getting any younger. IT's not getting any younger. This team's not going to continue to progress. They did.
I think it's where you want to retire in mind, me personally, because I just don't see him moving again after that. He's what, 32 now? I think he doesn't have 3 or 4 years in mind. I think he's like 5, 6 years in mind.
So if he takes that longer time frame, and yes, this trade also helps with this picture for the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they might have a top 5 draft pick next year, which could give them a young, talented player to build the next core around. But I think the argument for LA, and I think in particular the argument for the Lakers, is that if you look at a 5-year outline, first of all, the Golden State Warriors, at some point in that 5-year span, I think eventually either lose one of their pieces or something happens there. I don't think
that, definitely.
I don't think that that team's winning 70 games for the next 5 years.
Definitely.
And then second, I think a team like the Lakers is better positioned in 4 or 5 years to be a competitive team than the Cavaliers are right now, provided that they would add LeBron James, because of Lonzo Ball, because of Brandon Ingram, because of the young players that they have there, plus upcoming draft picks. And just the potential for them to add more pieces. I think Paul George going to the Lakers is serious after this year, even though he got traded to a competitive team in Oklahoma City. I don't think that the Clippers make as much sense, because I think that they're of that same kind of age.
Jerry West now, you never know.
That's true. Jerry West is an added factor in this, because Jerry West and LeBron James are close. Jerry West helped build those Golden State Warriors teams. But I just don't see why LeBron would rather play with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan right now with his skill set, where I think LeBron, as he ages, will be better suited as a power forward, a small ball forward. I don't see why he would rather play with those guys and not a lot of shooting around him, especially with J.J. Redick out of there, compared to playing with young, explosive players like Lonzo, or even in Cleveland like Isaiah Thomas.
Well, I'll tell you this. Magic Johnson and Steve Ballmer are two great mentors to have in the city of Los Angeles, two great billionaire mentors. But, and I hate to admit it, Brandon, but I think you said it, Los Angeles, just if you're LeBron, just sounds kind of intriguing with Brandon Ingram kind of on the horizon. He could maybe have a actual breakout year, and Lonzo Ball with his marketing capabilities. And you never know what happens with Nike or Big Baller Brand or whatever that is for LeBron. But the possibility of LA, and again, I'm a huge Kobe fan, so that's where my hesitation comes in. But LA just sounds nice. And when I say LA, the Lakers also sound nice. And then the Clippers, they have a few things going on as well. New stadium coming very soon, so they don't have to quite share the Staples Center with them. So I think LA, whether it's to get LeBron or not, are doing two very great things in their respective cities or, you know, areas of Los Angeles.
Is there anywhere else that you think LeBron James would consider going after this season?
Well, I've said it this way. I mean, as much as I don't want him to go to LA, I think LA's number one. And I think number two is actually Cleveland. And I'm going to say he stays. I know it sounds crazy, but
I don't think that's crazy. Like, I think there's
– I mean, it's home.
It's home, which is important to him. It's part of why he came back after he left the Heat. Although I do think that maybe in a similar argument to what we're having now, the Cleveland Cavaliers were better positioned to be competitive in the future compared to the Heat at the end of that run. But he went back there partially because he likes Cleveland, because that's his home city. And I think their talent, still outweighs what these other teams have. There's something to be said for having that talent on your team right now, being able to go to the NBA Finals or at least to the Eastern Conference Finals each and every year, and banking on potential talent to develop elsewhere. You still have Isaiah Thomas, who averaged 28 points a game, Kevin Love, who's been a 20-10 guy his whole career. Tristan Thompson's not a bad player. He gets exposed in those Warriors series from time to time, but he's not a bad player. You add Jay Crowder off the bench, J.R. Smith. They have a deep, good team. This is a very good team in Cleveland. I think that's the argument for why he just come back, and he could come back on a 1 or 2 year deal and play the same game in a couple of years. I think that's a legitimate possibility.
Look, I say it's crazy because we talk about Cleveland being home, but I think the people and the fans need to realize Cleveland is slowly becoming just a place where LeBron grew up, and Akron just a city where LeBron grew up. And I don't think we can get really that much into it. He's got his businesses in Los Angeles and his affiliations in Miami or whatever, his investors, investments. I think all of that is now in the big cities. And I think, again, Cleveland is just measly a you know, something that he wanted to do, something that he wanted to do for his people, for his fans, for, quote unquote, the land. And that's why, for me, it's crazy for people who don't, I guess, understand business or sports that much that, look, this is just a guy that a city and a place. He just grew up there. I don't see how the ties are going to kind of get in the way of him living out his dreams, which, you know, partially he already did. I just don't see that. You talk about the roster. They have a good roster. It's kind of like a CP3 situation. You're going to a decent team, to a more above decent team. At the end of the day, you're going to have to cross the Warriors. So it's just one of those things. It's a change of scenery, if anything, for LeBron. We'll see what happens 5 years down the road, because I don't think the Warriors are still going to be the Warriors in 5 years. But you just named five really good players, six like well above average players. I think the guy you have to look at is actually the number seven guy, or, you know, it's debatable, but the number seven guy for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And let's talk present now. I think Derrick Rose, if we see a 2011 or 10, 11, 12 Derrick Rose.
10, 11 Derrick Rose is gone.
Let's go 11 or 12, 12 or 13. I'll even go to 2013 before the injury against our beloved Sixers, where he had no business playing in that game, up 13. But if we see that Derrick Rose, I think this team will go very far, and I think he's the X factor, and I think people aren't talking about that. If we see and I'm not even saying New York Knicks Derrick Rose, because he still averaged 18 points last season. He was still somewhat effective. Again, debatable, but if we see a, you know, last year in Chicago Derrick Rose, this team is not going to get very far as far as finals expectations are concerned, because I think Derrick Rose is going to be a huge key and X factor for this team. Deron Williams, excuse me, wasn't really that guy, but we kind of saw Matt Dellavedova be that guy, whether it was dirty or whether it was his play or whatever it was. Matt Dellavedova still has a championship ring.
Yeah. I know it's early. Well, it's super early to talk playoffs right now, but I think it's fairly predictable to expect, I guess it's fair to expect the Cavaliers and the Celtics to be the two teams at the end of the tunnel in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
Here's kind of back to this Kyrie Irving trade. How epic is this series going to be with LeBron James facing off against his old protege, Kyrie Irving? Irving with the Boston Celtics behind him, a team with so much history, a team that LeBron James has history with, albeit with the Paul Pierce, KG, Ray Allen teams. We have this clash of multiple superstars on each side. LeBron James possibly out the door in Cleveland if they don't win a championship. Kyrie Irving defending his reputation and his statements that he could carry a team and that he could be the superstar, the face of a team individually, despite not having that resume. Gordon Hayward coming over from Utah and breaking Utah's hearts to join the Celtics. How can you describe or what do you expect to see down the road when these two teams face off on opening night and when they possibly face off in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I mean, this is very epic, and it's tough to say because the NBA has slowly dwindled down to about four, maybe five Western Conference teams, and I'll say, you know, for a matter of debate, two Eastern Conference teams. So let's say anywhere from six to seven teams now the NBA has become. And I actually wouldn't have won it any other way now. This is great. This is awesome. I said it. It's night number one, day number one. You get the Celtics on the road to Cleveland. I don't think people understand the magnitude of some of these games that we'll have. I mean, I think the NBA also did a great job of scheduling. You saw the nationally scheduled games with
Christmas
and all that.
It's Celtics Cavaliers game to start this
year. Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's just one of those things.
Fell into the lap.
Eastern Conference Finals, and correct me if I'm wrong, but whether this trade happens or not, that's still your Eastern Conference Finals picks. So I think that's where that comes in. It's more of just a correct, more of just a rivalry they're trying to brew, and I have no problem with that. And again, it sucks that at least 23 to 24 teams have, you know, no chance or no shot at all of even seeing the Eastern Conference Finals, but for me, that's okay because we're going to see some really good duos and superstars. And I think that's a debate for another time of if the NBA, and you heard Charles Barkley's comments on what is becoming, you know, with a potential four-peat of the Cavs and Warriors finals. But again, I think the finals game specifically, I'm not too thrilled about seeing those two teams again. But the playoffs, it's going to be insane.
I agree. I love it. I'll even go a step further and say Warriors, Cavaliers, Part 4, I'm in for that too, because the storylines keep changing. Now we have this changing of the core in Cleveland. We have LeBron possibly on the way out, Golden State trying to just continue to knock this team down and assert their historical positioning as perhaps the best team of all time. They need to continue this run in order to put themselves further into that conversation. I don't think they're there yet, but if they win another championship or two, that could be something that we talk about. But also, to that point, I think these playoff games are going to be great. You have so much star power on both sides. They're all going to be very competitive games, especially once we get to conference finals and NBA finals. And I still think that the regular season is not worthless. I think there will be some games where you roll your eyes and say, why is Nets Suns on tonight? But for a lot of these teams, there are still young, exciting players to watch. I don't think anybody thinks the 76ers are going to win the NBA Finals, but that's still going to be a fun team to watch. It's going to be fun to watch Joel Embiid. Same thing with the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think anybody thinks the Bucks are going to the Finals. We would all say the Bucks have no chance against the Warriors, but Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be fun to watch. There's so much star power, and I think enough of it is still spread out among the teams in the league, especially the young stars, that I'm thrilled for this NBA season, and I'm excited to just get it going, especially now that I think most of the dominoes in the NBA offseason have fallen. I'm not going to say it's over because it doesn't seem to ever end, and Carmelo Anthony's still out
there. I was just going to say Hoodie Mello's still out there.
Hoodie Mello is still out there.
98 2K rating.
But I think most of the big moves have been made this offseason, and perhaps the most big moves of any offseason in recent memory have been made during this summer.
Absolutely agree. I'm just so ready for this, and really want to be at that Cleveland Celtics game. I would do anything to be there for that first game. It's going to be an electric atmosphere.
Final thoughts on this deal. You think Final. Cleveland maybe taking a small step back, but I think they did very well considering the possible options out there and considering what the Bulls got for Jimmy Butler, which I think was a pretty minimal return, and especially what the Paul George return was for the Pacers, even though he had 1 year left on his deal. I think the Celtics maybe get a little bit better. Their depth takes a hit, but in the playoffs, a tight six or seven-man rotation, I think they're still very competitive. I think they're among the best teams in the league and that second team, but a clear second in the Eastern Conference.
Bold prediction for me to end it off. Celtics beat the Cavs in a 7-game series. Celtics will be in the finals 2018.
If the Celtics make the NBA finals, how is the NBA world going to cope with that? Kyrie Irving saying he doesn't want to play with LeBron James anymore, the best player of this decade, going to another team and beating him, and basically proving all of us wrong and going to the NBA Finals. How would we cope with that if that happens?
That's tough because we haven't really seen any other images besides, for maybe if you're a teenager at least, anyone but LeBron in the NBA Finals. So that alone is a weird image.
7 years straight he's been to the Finals.
7 years straight. And if you even go take maybe a 20-year kind of outlook, all we've seen is Tim Duncan, LeBron, Kobe. That's all we've seen. That's all we know. So I think that's kind of tough to wrap your head around. But it's going to be interesting. And again, it's a Tom Brady kind of cliff thing that we're waiting for. When is it going to happen? And I've said it before. I think this is going to be the year that it happens. It's going to happen at some point. If I'm wrong this year, it'll be next year. If not next year, it'll be the year after. But for LeBron, the window is closing. That's why he's kind of looking at his future, looking for his future and his family. Nothing wrong with that. Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, these young guns, amongst many others, are ready to take over and be the new face of the NBA.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Ahmed. The NBA offseason, maybe it's done, maybe it's not. Any predictions before we go on where Carmelo Anthony's going to end up?
Still going to have to say Houston, and I hope we see Hoodie Mello, if any Mello. I have to ask you this, though, Brandon.
Yeah.
Hoodie Mello or Olympic Mello, if you had to pick one?
That's such a hard question. I got to go with Hoodie Mello.
Yeah.
You can't match the swagger.
It's like Darth Vader had a baby with, like, Voldemort.
The shot is so smooth. I know I would not want to match up against Hoodie Mello. Not that I'd want to match up against Olympic Mello, but there's something else about Hoodie Mello.
We'll see about that. We'll see what happens. I called it 6 months ago, but maybe it'll take another 6 months. But Instagram, Twitter, all of it, The Cage, WVUD.
All right, that's it for us. Blue and Sports Cage, Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on 91.3 WVUD.
Peace. Damn, it's still storming. Yeah, that was solid. That was good. If this isn't like too much of trouble for you to do a pod like this, I feel like this is good for like emergency situations. If we're remote or, you know, people aren't able to do something or make it, this is like a great idea.
Yeah, I don't know what the quality is going to be like, but
yeah,
like you said, for an emergency situation,
and it's great.
If people are like, all over the place, like if you're traveling or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It can work.
You gonna put it up tonight?
Yeah, I'm gonna just do it real quick and then.
Nice. Are you gonna you're gonna keep it simple? I don't know if you said you weren't gonna add all the bells and whistles, right?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna make try to fix like the in between the two recordings.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to keep the. I mean, you'll obviously listen to it and go over it, but I think some of the stuff we said in between was funny too, or fine. I don't know what you want to keep and what you want to filter out. It's cool with me.
Teddy Gelman here, representing WVUD Sports. Football season is quickly approaching, and WVUD is your home for the most up-to-date analysis of Delaware Blue Hens football. Our 2017 season coverage gets underway on Thursday, August 31st, with a special broadcast of Blue Hen Sports Cage live outside Trabant University Center. Jake Lampert and I run the cage from 5 to 7, and then Brandon Holvek and Amid Quadri have the call for the season opener against Delaware State. Once again, that is Thursday, August 31st, for a Blue Hen Sports Cage special outside Trabant, and then it's football. WVUD is your home for Delaware football, field hockey, and ice hockey this fall. Check us out at WVUD.org on the sports tab and on Twitter at WVUD Sports.
All the excitement of Delaware athletics all year long. This is WVUD Sports.
Pass it, and Abusi, she kicks immediately to Cargo. Cargo knocks down the three.
The kick is up, and it is good! The Hens win it! Fred Cargo puts it in!
Wide open three for Ryan Daly. Knocks it down! Make it 19 for the freshman.
Ryan Daly has ice in his veins.
Tasman Hayes, a pump fake now. Hayes driving towards his right, throws up a floater. It's off the backboard and in. And one for Tasman.
Check the latest sports schedule at WVUD.org and follow us on Twitter at WVUD Sports.